Chapter 11. The Empire State Building. Mr. Black and I spent months looking for the lock together. The last person we visited was Ruth Black, and the address for her was the 86th floor of the Empire State Building. That was strange because I didn't think people lived there. I felt panicky about going up so high and having to use the elevator, but Mr. Black said it was okay to feel that. He patiently encouraged me to do it. "Okay, okay," I said after a long time. "I'll come with you." In the elevator, I held Mr. Black's hand and was incredibly nervous. When the elevator door opened, we were on the floor where tourists can look out at the city below. I knew it should be an exciting place to be, but I couldn't stop imagining a plane flying toward the building and crashing into it. I stood still and imagined what the last second would be like. There would be an extremely loud noise, and it would feel like the building was going to fall over. I know that is what it felt like from all the descriptions I've read on the internet. Then, there would be lots of smoke and people screaming all around me. It would get so hot that my skin would start to burn. Then, I would have to choose if I stayed there and burned or jumped into the street where it was cool, but I would definitely die. Which would I choose? Would I jump or would I burn? And there would still be a few seconds to call someone on my cell phone. Who should I call? What should I say? I didn't know. I stopped myself thinking those thoughts and started to look around. Mr. Black was very near the edge and was looking at Central Park. Near him was an old woman who was holding a clipboard. She stared at me as I walked toward Mr. Black. It made me feel uncomfortable, and even Mr. Black noticed it.
"You know what?" he whispered. "I think she's the one."
For some reason, I knew he was right. But before we had decided which of us should go and talk to her, she had come to us.
"Hello, I'm Ruth. Shall I show you around this very special building?" she said.
Mr. Black said,
"Yes, please. We'd love to know more."
So she started showing us around and telling us all about the history of the building. She read us a lot of information and numbers from her clipboard, but we laughed a bit too, and Mr. Black asked questions. Half an hour later, at the end, Mr. Black said,
"That was wonderful. Thank you."
She said,
"You're very welcome. I really, really love this building."
Mr. Black smiled.
"You're a great lady,"
he said.
"Would you like to have tea with me one afternoon?"
I hadn't known that Mr. Black wanted a girlfriend.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I can't, because I stay up here."
Mr. Black said,
"What? Always?"
"Yes," she said.
"But how long have you been up here?"
Mr. Black asked.
"For many years," she said.
I asked her where she slept.
"On nice nights, I sleep out here,"
she told us. But when it gets cold, I have a bed in one of the small rooms inside the building. What do you eat? I asked. Oh, there are two small cafes up here, and sometimes people bring me food, she said.
But why are you here? Why don't you ever go down?
Mr. Black asked.
My husband used to go around the city selling things, she told us. One day, he found an old spotlight. It was a really bright light, so he fixed it to the cart that he used to push around the city. He told me to come up to this floor of the Empire State Building. As he walked around New York, every now and then, he used to shine the light up at me so I could see where he was.
Did it work?
Mr. Black asked.
Not during the day. I looked, but I couldn't see it in the daylight. But in the late afternoon, when it started to get dark, it was amazing. I remember that first night. I came up here, and everyone was looking all over, pointing at the things to see. But I was the only person who had something pointing back at me.
Or someone, I said.
Yes, she said. I felt like a queen. And when the light went off, I knew he had finished work, and I used to go down and meet him at home. When he died, I came back up here. I just didn't want to go home because he wasn't there. I know it's crazy.
No, I said. It isn't.
It reminded me of looking for his light in the daytime, she said. I knew it was there, but I just couldn't see it.
Mr. Black took a step toward her.
I wouldn't make you go down, he said. We could spend the afternoon together up here.
I'm not very good with people, she said.
Neither am I,
Mr. Black said.
I don't even have a nice dress, Ruth said.
Nor do I,
said Mr. Black. It was a good joke, and Ruth laughed. But then she put her hand over her mouth, like she was angry at herself for forgetting her sadness. I really didn't want to go in the elevator again. So I had to walk the 1,860 stairs down to the ground floor, while Mr. Black went in the elevator and waited at the bottom for me. We were both really tired, so we decided to go home. But when I took Mr. Black to his apartment, he said to me,
Oscar, I think I'm finished.
Finished with what? I asked.
I've loved being with you. I've loved every second of it,
he told me.
You got me back into the world, and that's the greatest thing anyone has ever done for me. But now I think I'm finished. I hope you understand.
He reached his arm toward me, waiting for me to shake his hand. I kicked his door and told him, You're breaking your promise. I pushed him and shouted, It isn't fair! Then I said a really bad word. No, I didn't do that. Instead, I shook his hand and walked away. I didn't know what to do. I was all alone again, and I still hadn't found the lock.